don't be afraid to have these conversations, because what I like to say to women is you are already communicating. And one woman who said to me, I am afraid to have these conversations with my partner. I find out 20 minutes later that she unironically says to me that she dumps wet clothes on his pillow when he forgets to take them out of the washer and put them in the dryer. We are already communicating. I will go as a mediator, look at your home, you know, and watch you communicate without words. I'll circle 5 times that you've communicated today about domestic life. I'm asking you to have a conversation shift, a communication shift, not a start, a shift, because we are already communicating about domestic life. We just can do it better.
I'm your host, Michelle King, and you're listening to The Fix, a podcast that shares the stories of women and men who are innovating and taking action to advance equality in the workplace and beyond. It's been a long day. You've worked for 8 hours, and all you want to do is go home and rest. But you have to get ready for your next job, which is mentally and emotionally taxing, and it's unpaid. Worse still, your colleagues never show up, and you have to undertake nearly all the tasks yourself. No benefits, no bonuses, and no recognition. This is everyday life for the majority of working mothers. For the most part, the work associated with everyday life, such as cooking, cleaning, and looking after children, continues to fall to women. In poorer nations, these time-consuming and unpaid tasks can include long journeys to gather water or firewood, but similar gender gaps exist in developed nations. In the United States, women still perform several hours of unpaid labor every week related to domestic and childcare responsibilities. Across the board, the United Nations finds that women do 3 out of every 4 hours of unpaid labor. This is known as the double burden, where women have both a paying job at work and an unpaid job at home. But this work is often invisible. Gender stereotypes and standards for women ensure that most of the unpaid work in heterosexual relationships is something women are expected to do, even if women and men work similar hours. Whether it's doing the laundry, overseeing homework, driving kids to after-school activities, or caring for elderly parents, being solely in charge of household routines and tasks has been found to negatively influence mental and emotional health. While men today do more housework and parenting than previous generations, studies have shown that women are still responsible for a larger share of physical, emotional, and invisible labor at home. That's why Eve Rodsky, a Harvard-educated lawyer who works as an organizational management specialist overseeing philanthropy funds at Fortune 500 companies, is determined to create a system for domestic rebalance. After interviewing 500 men and women, Rodsky came up with the system, which she outlines in her book, Fair Play, The 5 New Rules to Revolutionize Your Marriage, Home, and Sense of Purpose. In this episode, Eve will share how you can create equality in your household and why this is so important for both men and women's career success and fulfillment. For working mothers in particular, balancing paid and unpaid work obligations is extremely hard work. Research finds this balancing act takes a toll, as women report high levels of depression and anxiety, including low life satisfaction and subjective well-being. While women have increased their hours of paid work, they've not received a corresponding reduction in the number of unpaid hours that they're expected to work at home. And men have not increased their share of unpaid work at the same rate that women have increased their share of paid work. Across 63 countries, roughly 31% of women's time is spent doing unpaid work, compared to men who only dedicate 10% of their time to unpaid work, according to the 2015 Human Development Report. It seems that women not only encounter inequality at work in trying to advance, but they also encounter inequality at home in having to undertake most of the domestic and childcare responsibilities. Eve Rodsky, author of Fair Play, The 5 New Rules to Revolutionize Your Marriage, Home, and Sense of Purpose is working to make the invisible visible, and in doing so, advance equality at home. Here, Eve shares how her passion for this work started with a simple text message from her husband, which finally made her invisible load too heavy to carry.
I get a text from my husband saying, "I'm surprised you didn't get blueberries," and I'm sobbing on the side of the road over it. I just had my second son, a newborn baby. It was about 3 months old. So I have a breast pump in my passenger seat. I have a diaper bag in my passenger seat. I have gifts to return for a new baby in the backseat of the car. I have a client contract on my lap because I'm a family mediator and a lawyer by trade. So I'm working on a complex family foundation contract in my lap. I have a pen in between my legs, sort of sticking me in the vagina as I'm like driving to my son's 3-year-old transition program. And even though I knew I was going to be late to pick up my older son, I still had to pull over on the side of the road because I was just sitting there, not only crying, but thinking I used to be able to manage employee teams. And now I can't even manage a grocery list. And more importantly, how did I become this default, or as I like to say, the she-fault for every single household and childcare task for my family? It wasn't supposed to happen to me. Not only am I a lawyer, a Harvard-trained attorney trained to use my voice, and I'm sitting there sobbing instead of talking to my husband about this issue, I vowed this was never going to happen to me. And so I figured that if it was happening to me, it was probably happening to a lot of other women. And so that led me on a 7-year quest to really understand this issue of the she-fault. I found out the she-fault, had a name, many names. And those names were second shift, the mental load, emotional labor, and my all-time favorite is invisible work.
Eve's experience of being fed up is all too common. Many women shoulder the burden of invisible labor at home. The 2017 Modern Family Index report commissioned by Bright Horizons found that mothers who are the primary breadwinners in married households are 3 times more likely than working fathers who are the primary breadwinners to manage children's schedules. This creates a mental load, which is the mental strain associated with having too many things to manage, causing psychological and emotional fatigue, and in turn, limiting productivity and long-term career success. Here, Eve shares more on the impact of invisible labor.
The stakes are very high for not getting it right, and I break it down in Fair Play into 4 costs. There's an identity cost. Who am I after having kids? I saw it all over my data set. I have 500 interviews with men and women that mirror the U.S. Census, but I also went to the U.K., Australia, Japan, and Norway, and Israel. So I have a nice international data set as well. The cost on our careers, 43% of women in the U.S. alone take a career detour after kids. I mean, that's not an insignificant percent. So the effect on our careers from holding on this extra mental load, this invisible work, the cost on our marriage in terms of resentment. And the 4th cost is wellness, our mental and physical health. And I have experts in the book that break down these costs. But really what I found was the cost of doing this invisible work, the mental load, the emotional labor, 2/3 of what it takes to run a home and family still falls on women, regardless of whether we work outside the home. This statistic that I was undeniably living on that blueberries day, that I didn't even know it. I knew there were costs. I was reading about the costs, but I was trying to figure out why. Why was this on us? And I had came up with a really interesting finding that hadn't really been talked about. And that finding was that men's time is finite, like diamonds, and women's time is infinite, like sand. And here's how it plays out. So obviously, we know from equal pay, women's time is not valued equally to men's time. But it's playing out in the home in very insidious ways. And the worst purveyors of these, what I call toxic time messages, people who are not valuing women's time, were women themselves. And what I mean by that is I had women all over the world saying to me, my husband makes more money than me, so of course I should pick up the extra slack, do do the extra dishes, get the kids from school when they're sick. Other women were saying to me, in the time it takes me to tell him what to do, I might as well do it myself. So I went to the top behavioral economist in the world. They said that's terrible long-term thinking for women. But what I realized is that there's a huge differential in the expectations of how we use our time. And that was the core. That was the core where I realized we're not going to get to the cost on our identity, on our marriage, on our wellness and careers, unless we realize that all time is created equal, that women's time is as valuable as men's time.
The real problem with invisible labor is that it's invisible. It's really hard to solve a problem that you can't see. If laundry gets done, dishes get washed, and groceries get bought, it's easy to be unaware of the hours involved in undertaking these activities. By documenting these activities in a spreadsheet and researching the different types of tasks that we undertake at home, Eve came up with a system for managing invisible labor. For simplicity, she turned this into a game and also outlined the key steps in her book. Here, Eve shares what she did to make the invisible visible.
What I realized when I looked at this problem was that the reason why I like the term invisible work, which is basically a term that means the toothpaste never runs out, you're welcome, right? All the stuff that we do behind the scenes to make a house and, you know, sort of childcare seamless is not valued by society. But what I did like about it after my blueberries day was I felt like invisible work had a modicum of a solution in it, because how can you value what you don't see? So my solution back then, because every other book up to Fair Play had some really interesting solutions, like strike, you know, walk out of your home or move to a foreign country where your husband knows the language and you don't, so he has to fill out school forms. But even the most productive solution said make a list. And so what I decided to do was make invisible visible, because I believe that visibility has value. So if you could make this invisible work visible, there'd be value in it. And that led me on a quest to make a giant spreadsheet, 100 tabs of invisible work, over 1,000 items of invisible work. And I titled it the Should I Do spreadsheet. And it was so fun. I sourced it from hundreds of women all over the country. Some I didn't even know who were friends of friends that were calling me and texting me saying, I see your Excel spreadsheet. I see what you're trying to do. You're trying to make the invisible visible. So here's something that's invisible in my house.
Rather than divide work equally between men and women, Eve says that it's actually more important to own the responsibility for the activities that you do have. Using cards to represent dozens of household chores and responsibilities that make up invisible work, Eve instructs readers to deal out those cards between domestic partners. Then each person has to oversee the conceiving, planning, and execution of each card. In other words, if one of your cards is making dinner, don't ask your partner what's for dinner. Here Eve shares why full ownership is the key to equality at home.
So the solution, the fix, is a move away from this idea of 50-50 towards a ownership model where when you're in charge of groceries, you're handling it from conception, planning to execution. Because if you are conceiving and planning a task, then you're going to know how to execute it. And so really the heart of Fair Play is a card game you play with your spouse or your partner that represents every single thing you do in domestic life, 100 cards. And when you're holding a card, the solution is you're holding it with full ownership, full conception, planning, and execution. And it does not mean it's going to be 50-50. I am not asking men and women to divide the cards evenly, not even close. I'm saying start with one task where you ask your spouse or your partner to own it fully from conception, planning, to execution. Once that happens, there is transformative change. Over the past 3 years, I'm seeing transformative change in couples all over the world, different socioeconomic status, different ethnicities. It is working, and that's the beauty of ownership. So one more time, 50-50 is the wrong equation. So I'm asking, the fix is to move away from 50-50 and that expectation and disappointment when you don't get it, and move to an idea that works in the business world, has been working for organizations for 50 years, move to an ownership model where when you're in charge of a task card, you're holding it from the full conception to the planning to the execution.
Evening out the load at home stands to benefit men. According to research findings by Boston College's Center for Work and Family, which includes responses from more than 850 fathers, two-thirds of fathers wished they were an equal parenting partner, but less than one-third actually felt like they were achieving that. Only 32% of those studied were traditional fathers, in the sense that they expected the mother to play a dominant caregiver role. But even amongst the men in that group, 75% of them responded that they would like more time with their children. Conflicted dads, who wish they were more of a hands-on parent, felt the least job satisfaction at work compared to dads who took on a more equal parenting role with their spouse. Managing a more equal household is key to men's fulfillment at home and at work. Here, Eve shares why men only stand to benefit from equality at home.
Fair play is not man-shaming. In fact, it became a love letter to men, because what I realized is that men are not benefiting from how things are working in the home either. And I don't just mean because hundreds of men have told me that nagging is what they hate most about home life. It's that men were saying all over the world, I don't feel good at the home things. I don't know my role. One man, you can't make this stuff up, he got locked out of his house over a glue stick, because he forgot to bring home a glue stick. And this man in White Plains, New York, is telling me the story of how he got a text in the middle of the day that he forgot, and he's driving around his town deciding, do I go into New York City? Do I get a hotel for the night? Do I wait for my wife to calm down? Do I enter the house and force my way in? And he's really feeling completely overwhelmed that she got so upset over the glue stick, whereas what I hear from her later on is that for 3 weeks, she had been working on a homework project for her child, going to the library, Xeroxing pages from the library, cutting out pictures for the poster board. And they finally had everything laid out, and all she needed, she just needed the glue stick, and her husband couldn't even do that. So those are sort of the conversations happening all around the world, where women are saying, I just need one thing. And men are saying, well, I have no idea why you need this. You've given me no context. And so it's not working for men. And what I find in my beta testers, that men are responding to fair play even better than women. 65% are men of the emails that have come in, asking for the cards, asking for a copy of the download of the card, saying that they got the book from the library, but they only have it for 5 days. And they want to play the game with their spouse, which is at the heart of the Fair Play book. And so it's been really heartening to see the male response to the solution in Fair Play.
The key to creating equality at home is constructive conversations where you call out the invisible activity and the lack of ownership of tasks. Eve says that women and men have so much to gain from having these conversations. While people may avoid this because of the time that it takes, we actually all stand to gain more hours in the day by having these conversations.
I really looked at men and how they respond to communication when I developed the Fair Play game, which is at the heart of the book, because the gamification of the values conversations, playing the game with the rules, which are pretty simple, it takes about 20 minutes on Instagram. The average time people have been playing, they tell me it's taking about 30 minutes. I'm asking you to invest in your marriage with a 20-minute conversation. You can do it. And it doesn't have to be hard. It can be fun, but it requires this conversation shift. Don't be afraid to have these conversations, because what I like to say to women is you are already communicating. And one woman who said to me, I am afraid to have these conversations with my partner. I find out 20 minutes later that she unironically says to me that she dumps wet clothes on his pillow when he forgets to take them out of the washer and put them in the dryer. We are already communicating. I will go as a mediator on your Nest camera or whatever you have, look at your home, you know, and watch you communicate without words for the next, you know, I'll circle 5 times that you've communicated today about domestic life. I'm asking you to have a conversation shift, a communication shift, not a start, a shift, because we are already communicating about domestic life. We just can do it better.
can't achieve equality at work if we don't experience it at home. The key to achieving this at work and at home is disrupting our denial about the challenges women face. We must acknowledge the invisible load that women carry at home if we want to remove the challenges it creates for women in working life. This starts with openly discussing what activities we undertake and carrying your share of the load by owning it. Eve's system for doing this is genius in its simplicity. If you're interested to play Eve's game, buy her book, or learn more, please check out her website, fairplaylife.com. Thank you so much for tuning into my episode today. If you've not already, please sign up to my weekly newsletter at michellepking.com. And if you're interested in being a guest on the show, then please reach out through the site. Thanks again for tuning in, and I'll catch you guys again next week.